Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Bruce Alpert will tell us how the UN's World Health Organization is working to reduce the millions of infant deaths that happen every year. Dorothy Gundy will tell us about an effort in Malawi to teach families to grow their own vegetables after little rain and then floods destroyed last year's corn harvest.
What we want to do is roll out our Victory Garden solution, our solution of changing the way that Malawians think about farming and think about food, so that Malawi can break the cycle of poverty.
John Russell will tell us about a fascinating new exhibit at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African Art. It explores how people experience and understand time, and it shows what artists can accomplish with film. Kaba Rezaei will tell us about a famous bridge in Washington, D.C. that is badly in need of repair. I will introduce you to the new way American Muslims are meeting possible spouses. And in our weekly health and lifestyle report, Anna Mateo will tell us how adults are using coloring books to reduce their stress.
They feel this is something that kind of will just sort of help them almost therapeutically.
So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started.
The days immediately before and after childbirth appear the most dangerous for mothers and babies. The World Health Organization, or WHO, estimates that more than 300,000 women die every year during pregnancy or childbirth. Each year, about 2.6 million babies are stillborn, and another 2.7 million babies die during the first 28 days of life, it said. Most of the deaths are taking place in South Asia and in Africa south of the Sahara Desert. Many of the deaths could have been avoided with quality health care, WHO officials said. Another problem is that nearly all babies who are stillborn and half of all newborn deaths are never documented. Those deaths are not reported to or investigated by government health agencies. Officials said this means the actual number of stillborn and newborn deaths is probably even higher than the WHO's own current estimates. The United Nations agency says the lack of information makes it harder to find solutions. Ian Askew is Director of Reproductive Health and Research at the WHO. He said, "It is important for all births and deaths to be counted so health officials can make better decisions on how to prevent future deaths." In this way, Askew said, countries could improve the quality of health care and stop millions of families from enduring the pain of losing their infants or mothers. The WHO released three reports earlier this month to help health agencies do a better job collecting information. Askew told VOA that traditions and beliefs often interfere with the collection of important records about infant deaths. In many countries, he said, there is a belief that a stillbirth may not represent a lost life. Some stillbirths, infant deaths, or deaths of mothers result from complications during childbirth, the WHO said. Others may result from health problems with the mother, including diabetes or hypertension. A poor diet or using drugs can interfere with the growth of a fetus inside the mother, the WHO added. I'm Bruce Alpert.
In Malawi, over 6 million people need food aid because severe weather has made growing corn crops difficult. But small home gardens are helping. The Victory Garden Campaign is working with people in the capital city of Lilongwe to grow a variety of vegetables near their houses. Edson Kubani and his family live in the Lukuni area of the capital city. He created a garden last year after his corn crop failed. Like most farmers in Malawi, his family depended on corn as its main source of food. But now he grows vegetables such as tomatoes, pumpkins, beans, and potatoes. His wife, Afrida, helps with the garden.
Now I have even stopped asking my husband about food whenever he leaves the house. I just enter the garden and pick whatever food I need for the family and cook it.
Kumbani began his garden with help from a U.S. anti-hunger charity, Face to Face. Its mission is to help communities help themselves. Ken Wong is the director.
What we want to do is roll out our Victory Garden solution, our solution of changing the way that Malawians think about farming and think about food, so that Malawi can break the cycle of poverty.
About 22,000 families in the Lukuni, Sabango, and Matundu areas are benefiting from the campaign. Each person that receives training will teach 25 other people. The small gardens are about 2.5 square meters and can grow up to 15 kinds of plants, vegetables, and fruit trees. The campaign chooses plants and trees that can survive on little water. The weather is still dry in Malawi, and some villagers must walk a long way to get water. Even so, the seeds of change for a healthier future are being planted. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Artist Rachel Raimont did not plan on spending part of her day inside a dark building when she visited Washington, D.C. But she changed her mind after taking one look at a new exhibit at the world-famous Smithsonian Institution. The exhibit can be seen at the Smithsonian's National Museum of African Art. It is called Senses of Time, Video and Film-Based Works of Africa. Senses of Time is a video and film show that explores how people experience time. It is a really different experience than being in a gallery or looking at a painting, said Raimont, who lives in Baltimore, Maryland. It kind of forces you to step back and coexist with the piece instead of just glancing at it. Time is the main subject that connects all of the works, although the subject matter differs from work to work. The exhibit includes Yinka Shonibare's work, Un ballo in maschera. It is based on Giuseppe Verdi's 1859 operatic work, A Masked Ball. Shonibare's piece questions the nature of time. In it, a leader, played by a woman, is killed. She then rises again and dances once more. Muataz Nasser's film, The Water, is very different from Shonibare's colorful work. Nasser's film is in black and white. Faces appear in water on the ground, but before you, the viewer, can see any details, a foot steps on the image. Rachel Raimont liked how the exhibit was political, but did not try to teach about politics in an unwanted way. A lot of time with political work, there's a tendency for things to get a bit cold or didactic. But that didn't happen in there, she said. All of it was very moving, and it was very human. Perhaps the most openly political piece is Sami Balogi's memoir. It was filmed against a series of former copper mines in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Choreographer and dancer Faustin Linyekula does a dance while speeches from some of the country's earlier and current leaders play. The piece shows how the reality of the present has not lived up to the promises of the past. Linyekula expresses this idea in a heartbreaking way by shouting, "Vive l'indépendance!" or "Long live independence," to nothing but silence. Other works tell of difficulties that political activists faced in the past. For example, Sue Williamson's work, called There's Something I Must Tell You, shows six South African women from the generation of former President Nelson Mandela. The women talk about their experiences to their young relatives. In total, seven films are shown at the same time in the African Art Museum's exhibit hall. The experience tests not only perceptions of time, but also ideas about what artists can accomplish with film. I'm John Russell.
A famous bridge over the Potomac River is badly in need of repair. The Memorial Bridge connects Washington, D.C. with Arlington County in Virginia. It provides drivers, runners, and walkers alike a crossing between the famous memorial to President Abraham Lincoln and Arlington National Cemetery. Tens of thousands of people use the bridge every day. But only some of them know that the large stone structure and its steel supports are slowly breaking down. The Memorial Bridge was built in 1932. It was designed to be a ceremonial entrance to Washington. But the bridge is in need of major repair work. Money for the project has been hard to find. The U.S. Congress approved a $90 million grant for the repairs. But an estimated $250 million would be required to fully fix the famous structure. Close to 68,000 drivers use the Memorial Bridge daily. Many have noticed the bridge is falling apart. "I see it every day," said Frank Lopez del Rincon, who spoke to VOA while riding his bicycle. "The cracks, people working on it. It clearly needs lots of work." Kay Seyom, a taxi driver, also uses the bridge. He said he has experienced firsthand the difficulties of bridge repairs and lane closures, especially during rush hour. Temporary quick fixes have been made for several years. Recently, more permanent changes, such as closing the outer lanes and increasing weight limits, have drivers seeking other ways to get to and from D.C. Emergency repair projects in 2010, 2012, and 2015 resulted in months of lane and sidewalk closures. The U.S. National Park Service says those repairs were only temporary. Park Service officials are responsible for the bridge and grounds around it. Matthew Gilmore is a local historian and planning expert. He said the Park Service has been making quick, simple repairs for many years. He explained the federal agency never has a lot of money to spend. But a major fix is needed. Without a complete repair project, the Park Service said the bridge will have to close to all traffic in 5 years. The main problem now is that the deck, or top surface, continues to break up. Cyclist Del Rincon was surprised to hear that the Park Service continues to struggle to find money for the project. "I would think the government would cover that," he said. The situation at the Memorial Bridge is found in other parts of the U.S. The American Society of Civil Engineers this year rated 1 in 9 American bridges as structurally deficient. Progress in fixing the country's roads and bridges is slow. Congress has been unwilling to approve the public money needed for such repairs in recent years. The country needs to spend nearly 2 times its current budget of $12.8 billion a year just to make sure American bridges stay safe and secure. That spending estimate comes from the U.S. Federal Highway Administration. I'm Kaveh Razai.
Many young Muslim Americans report having difficulty finding a spouse in the traditional way. So they are using websites that connect Muslims who want to be married. Filza Sati and Obaid Akram have been married for more than a year. They met on a website for Muslims who want to take part in halal dating. Halal dating is a way for Muslims to learn about one another, to decide if they want to be married, while at the same time observing the beliefs of Islam. When Muslim men and women date one another, it is with the intention of marrying one another or deciding against marrying. As they are dating, they do not become physically intimate. They meet only in public places and with friends. And they must have permission from their parents or other older people to date one another.
ये कुछ दो साल पहले की बात है मैंने एक वेबसाइट ज्वाइन की थी
I joined a matrimonial website 2 years ago. You'll find a lot of people there with different backgrounds and cultural values.
Mission है उस वेबसाइट पे
Obaid Akram says he once supported so-called arranged marriages, in which family members bring a man and woman together to be married. But he says finding a wife through a website was easier.
Halal dating, I think, is going to be the next thing for our Muslim community. Because we need it. You need to do that. We all need to do that.
Some Muslims still prefer the traditional method of matchmaking or arranging marriages. Huma Qureshi lives in Houston, Texas. She has been a matchmaker for the past 16 years.
तो definitely फर्क तो आया है उस चीज से क्योंकि अब ये लोगों को access easy लगता है कि भाई कोई बीच में है नहीं.
Online dating has impacted our work because it's so easy to go to the website and create a profile for a nominal fee. Boys and girls can also meet in the process we follow, but that involves families first. You do find halal dating amazing as you're young and are attracted to the opposite sex. It's more like a fun thing.
कि likings, disliking हमारी बड़ी मिलती हैं और बड़ा fun part बहुत होता है उस dating में.
Meeting other Muslims on a website and then taking part in halal dating is new. But Sati and Akram believe this is the way most Muslims will meet in the future. They believe learning about a person before a marriage takes place will help prevent some of the problems that arranged marriages produce.
Coloring is an activity that children worldwide have long enjoyed. With a picture already made for them, kids simply choose a crayon, pencil, or marker of their favorite color and fill it in. But why should children get to have all the fun? Now they don't. More and more adults are enjoying relaxing hours of coloring. This is thanks to a new book craze in the United States and in other countries around the world, an adult coloring book craze. In December, 5 of the top 10 best-selling books in the United States were coloring books made for adults. Artist Trina Lucido creates coloring books. To find inspiration for her drawings, she says she doesn't have to look far.
One day I saw a beautiful leaf and boom, I did a whole page with leaves. Some came from sketchbooks and some were just a one-word inspiration. Some I just saw something on the ground and that was my inspiration that day.
Trina Lucido's latest coloring book contains 40 pages filled with hand-sketched drawings of flowers, birds, and geometric shapes. It also has spaces to journal, in other words, to write about what you're doing or thinking. Journaling has long been an exercise in many types of therapy. Lucido says the big idea behind her latest book is to help encourage people to do something creative.
It's called Color, Write, and Create, and I wanted to do something that would encourage people to be creative. When I do art journaling, people will see my journals, they go, oh my gosh, I wish I were creative. And that makes me sad because I feel everybody is creative. So the idea behind this book, the big idea, was to encourage people to be creative.
Lucido says the positive feedback from her customers is encouraging. She says that many of her customers are buying the coloring books for others who are sick or having challenges. Lucido adds that the act of coloring becomes almost healing, or as she says, therapeutic.
Something else that I've heard from people, that they're buying these for people who are either ill or going through a rough time, and they feel this is something that kind of will just sort of help them almost therapeutically.
Art therapy experts have said in several articles that coloring can reduce stress by focusing you on a simple task. When you are filling in a flower with a vibrant purple color, you focus on the flower and not on your troubles. Experts add that coloring can bring out your imagination and can take you back to your childhood. Psychologists add that coloring activates your brain in a healthy way. The shape and form of the drawings activate one side of the brain, while the color and texture of the drawing material activates the other. Coloring also exercises a person's fine motor skills. But people drawn to coloring books probably are not thinking of exercising their fine motor skills. Susan Jackson is a big fan of Lucido's coloring books. Jackson stands in a local store in the Washington, D.C. area. She holds one of Lucido's coloring books in her hands. As she flips through the book, she says she is drawn to their beauty and authenticity. Sitting down and coloring, Jackson adds, relaxes her and just makes her feel happy.
Oh, it is very relaxing, and any stress just sort of falls away. It frees your mind, and it's not as daunting as trying to fill a blank page. The pictures, I think, are just happy. They just make me feel happy. I love her little birds. There's just something about them. They make me smile. So I'm saving the bird pictures to the very end, I think.
For now, there is a strong demand for adult coloring books. That fact keeps Lucido happy and very busy. I'm Ana Mateo.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. We hope this program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from the Voice of America.